High-stakes games will dominate the month of November. They started last week and will continue for the next four Saturdays. The race for the college football playoffs continues.
From across the Volunteer State with your exclusive scouting report, welcome to the Coach's Meeting. This is Coach to Coach.
Dave McGinnis, the pursuit of a playoff spot and in-season firings at Power Football Program. They continue this week, but let's start with the most important thing. What came out this past Tuesday, college football playoff poll, just kind of talking through this. We've had a chance to kind of look at it, and I want to start going. We're going to hit it. But anything on there you see surprising right now? We got Ohio State number one, Indiana number two, two Big Ten teams, Texas A&M, Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss. They got the next four spots. Of course, those are all ACC teams. BYU is 8-0. They're at number seven. Texas Tech, 8-1. By the way, they play today, so we'll be seeing what goes on there. You got then Oregon, Notre Dame, Texas, Oklahoma. That's the top 12 in there. Utah, let's just kind of hit that. Anything there that no real surprises there, I see, huh?
No, and to me, it's going to depend on, and of course, this is the first iteration of it, but how much of this committee is going to go on strength of schedule and strength of opponent? Because the team that has the biggest strength of schedule and strength of opponent wins right now is Texas A&M. I mean, if they just put the numbers to it, they just do a linear part of it. But right now, I mean, how can you argue, first of all, at this point, with 3-8-0 teams and 4-8-0 teams, 2-7-1 teams, 8-1 team, 8-1. You can't argue with any of those. Now you get down to Notre Dame that is 6-2. You know, they're teetering still, in my opinion. Texas at 7-2. I think Texas is getting hot at the right time. I mean, they're starting to come on at the right time. And then OU is at 7-2. We've seen those people, but Utah, Virginia, Louisville, those ones that are right after it. I mean, for the first poll, I mean, you can't argue with it.
Mac 12 teams come into this playoff. We know that. A couple of things in there. Remember, you have to be a conference champion to get one of the passes. The group of five team is going to get in there. Right now, if we would go right now, it would be Memphis. But, of course, we got more time to play on that. And they would have to win their conference championship. I guess the big thing that everybody's looking at is Notre Dame. They're certainly not going to be a conference champion. They're not in there. They're sitting there at 6-2. Really have not played a strength of schedule that would probably keep them there. But let's face it, they are Notre Dame, right?
Well, they are Notre Dame, and they are a good football team. But when you start talking about something that's as subjective as this is, this part of it, that's going to be very, very interesting to me. Now we still got another month of football to play, so this will flesh itself out. The thing again that I like about this, and we've talked about before, I like the fact they're settling it on the field now. That's what I like.
And let's face it, we probably will when it's all said and done, quibble about the 12 teams. Bottom line is though, you got to get there. You got to be in it to win it, as they say. So it doesn't make any difference where you are. If you're in the playoffs, 1 through 12, whether you're 1 or number 12, you have an opportunity on that. I think looking at it, Mac, let's just talk about some of these teams. Ohio State, Indiana, both 8-0. A&M is 8-0. BYU is 8-0. Everybody else has one loss or some two loss teams in there. Indiana, boy, the surprise team. I keep waiting for them to just have a fourth quarter that they have to play really well in. Man, they're playing. I think they're playing better than anybody up there right now. Again, they haven't played. Yes, I know they haven't played some of the opponents a tougher schedule than others. But boy, they're playing well right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can only play who's on your schedule, and they're smoking everybody on the schedule right now. A little bit, too. I mean, they're playing with a chip on their shoulder, too, because they still really believe that people don't believe they're very good. And people are finding out that play them, they're getting drugged by them right now. So I'm impressed with Indiana. I'm impressed with the fact that they're able to sustain this right now.
Let's talk about Southeastern Conference. We're going to look at the other big the Power Four conferences also. But right now, you still have eight Southeastern Conference teams in it. A&M and Alabama are both undefeated in conference. A&M is 8-0, Alabama is 7-1. Mac, Alabama also, four, they were open this past week, but four straight wins against top 20 opponents, and they're playing really well right now.
Sure they are. I mean, and again, I think that was a little bit of a misnomer with the demise of Alabama after the opening week, but they're coming on.
Georgia 7-1 and 5-1. Ole Miss 8-1 and 5-1. Texas 7-2, but they're 4-1 in the league. And then you have Oklahoma, Vanderbilt, Missouri, who still only have two losses. Again, that two-loss threshold is what you have to stay at or under. If you're over, like Tennessee is right now, you're gonna be left out of it. But so you got what, eight teams that are still in it, and probably six of them have a great chance of being there. And we'll see what happens when they pick the teams on Big Ten. Mac, little surprise, only four teams in the college football playoff right now from the Big Ten: Ohio State and Indiana, Oregon, and those are teams that are all up there in the top 10, and then Michigan at number 20. Look at the Atlantic Coast Conference. Virginia, Louisville, Georgia Tech would be the only three teams that are mentioned again in the college football playoff, that first poll. And then the Big 12, BYU, Texas Tech, and Cincinnati. And, of course, BYU, Texas Tech play this week. Big ball game.
Yeah, it's a huge ball game. And when you look at these, anytime when you're looking at this roster right now, the way it breaks down, those teams that have that two in that right-handed column, they're playing the rest of the time with their heels on the edge of the cliff.
Yep.
That's just the way it is.
Going to be playoff games the rest of the way on it. Let's talk about the SEC schedule real quick. LSU at Alabama. Of course, LSU interim coach. Alabama is playing at a high level right now, but that is a rival ball game, you know, like a lot of these games are going to be. We got Auburn at Vandy. We got Florida at Kentucky. We got Georgia at Mississippi State. And then the game that is going to tell us, I think, a lot about exactly how good Missouri is. We got A&M going to Missouri. And Missouri with two losses right now, still in it. But you just mentioned, hard to evaluate every team. But boy, A&M, it really, really looks like a talented football team. They got a quarterback that can move, can run. He's a really good thrower. Let's just hit that real quickly. I found this very interesting. You can make a strong argument, and I'll make it, that Southeastern Conference's two best teams right now are Alabama and A&M. You know what both those teams have? Both of them have quarterbacks from the state of Tennessee. Both of them's quarterbacks' father was a head football coach in college, all right? And then the other part of it is, while one's a runner and the other is not, not so much of a runner, they got different qualities. But it kind of shows you a little bit about a coach's son that's a quarterback, and both of them playing at a really high level. The Reed youngster out at A&M, of course, his father was head coach at Tennessee State, and of course, Ty Simpson down at Alabama, his dad still the head coach of UT Martin. You if you grow up in a household with a coach, and especially a head coach, you learn a little football if you just sit there and let osmosis take over.
Oh yeah, I mean, coaches' kids. I mean, they get into the business. They've got to jump ahead. I mean, they do. I mean, I've seen it in the NFL a lot. You know, with former players when their kids get in, they've been around it. They understand it, and they're not in awe of it. They appreciate it, but they understand how it works. Those two quarterbacks are legitimate quarterbacks.
Let's kind of finish up on this first college football playoff poll as we look down through there. Georgia Tech sitting there at 8-1 at 17. They're the last team at 17, and they're the last team with one loss in there. Vanderbilt's a little ahead of them. Louisville. I would say, looking at this, Miami probably still in it at 6-2. Remember, somebody's got to win these conference championships, and it's an automatic if you get in. And then after that, we know that the Big Ten and the Southeastern Conference, probably in reverse order, Southeastern Conference and Big Ten is going to probably have the most teams in there. But as you look down through there, than those top teams we see, anybody catch your fancy right now?
Yeah, I mean, Louisville's a dangerous football team. When you really do look at that, they got athletes. They've got athletes, and they're kind of hitting their stride at the right time. The other thing about Georgia Tech runs such an unusual offense that getting ready to play Georgia Tech is different than getting ready to play anybody else on your schedule. That's a big plus for them.
Ohio State won it all last year and really won it pretty easily. All four of their playoff games last year they played, they won with double digits. I don't know if they can be that strong, but they might be that strong. You mentioned A&M, Alabama playing well, Georgia playing well. A lot of teams in it, and we'll keep an eye on it as we go through the rest of this season.
Yeah, well, that's the great part of it. I mean, the interest is only going to accelerate as we go through this next month.
This is Coach to Coach with former NFL head coach and defensive coordinator Dave McGinnis and former Tennessee defensive coordinator Doug Matthews, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
More than 450 tickets have been sold worth $1 million or more. But with nearly $8 billion raised for education, the biggest winners continue to be students in Tennessee. So if you've ever purchased a game from the Tennessee Lottery, we say thank you for helping to play your part. The Tennessee Lottery, game-changing, life-changing fun, but please play responsibly.
Doug Matthews here. Game day or any day, Wilson Bank and Trust shows up for our schools. Through signature sponsorships and hometown support, they're investing in the next generation of leaders, customers, and bankers. At Wilson Bank and Trust, they believe financial knowledge builds financial confidence. That's why they offer tools and education for every age and every life stage, from digital resources to school programs and even hands-on learning at home. Experience the difference a community-focused bank can make. Together, we win. Wilson Bank and Trust, here to get you there. Member FDIC.
Championship teams make constant adjustments to keep winning. I'm Dwayne Hardy of Forklift Systems. Your competitors aren't standing still. Forklift sales are up 100%. You can't compete with inferior machinery. Our free equipment analysis shows your MVPs and the ones costing you wins. With factory rebates up to $8,000, you can't afford to stay on the sideline. Don't get left behind. Visit ForkliftSystems.com today.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
This is Coach to Coach with former NFL head coach and defensive coordinator Dave McGinnis and former Tennessee defensive coordinator Doug Matthews. Driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
We like to get in lessons in this second segment. And, Mac, let's talk a little bit about the lessons from the Oklahoma game. Two key stats in this ball game. You know, I think you agree with me on this. We've talked about this maybe in the past. Statistics are for losers, no question about that. But even when you win, there are certain stats that you look at. I thought the two key stats in this ballgame, though, one was field position, and the second was turnovers. And there are turnovers, and then there's turnovers. When you get a turnover, that's great, or a takeaway on defense. But when you score with it, you know, that's about as good as it gets. And Tennessee, if you look at it from a turnover standpoint, missed field goals, those types of things, about 16 points in this ballgame were directly because of turnovers. That'll get you beat in most games.
No, that'll get you beat, and especially when the teams are as even as they were. You know, we talked about it being strength on strength, but you can't give away a strength on your side of the ball. And you're right. I mean, turnovers are one thing, but giveaways are something completely different. And both of those throws, and then the touchdown on the fumble, that should never have been a touchdown. The fumble recovery was legit, but you got to get that guy on the ground.
Well, both those interceptions, I think, as a offensive staff, when they looked at that, would have said, number one, let's talk about the next one. Overthrow, kind of a bad – it was a bad throw. But tight end had an opportunity to make a tackle on the interception and just tried to butt him down, and it ended up being about a 30, 35-yard return that set up a field goal. And then, of course, on the one, the sack and score, you pick that one up and score, You had a tight end draped all over him for about 20, 25, 30 of those yards. Mac, you noticed one thing in that ball game that I didn't. A lot of it was because he was trying to look like trying to strip the ball.
He was trying to rake the ball out. That's what he was trying to do, because he had a chance to tackle him very, very quickly. You know, and he's you know, the tight end's a good athlete, so he had a chance just to wrap him up, because he had him by the body, but he was had him on one arm. He was holding him, and the other one he was trying to knock the ball out.
Well, having said that, that was an impressive play. 71 yards by a defensive tackle. Again, it wasn't just pick it up and run with nobody on you. He had a big player draped all over him. A good play. He actually got injured on that play.
Well, he pulled a ham. Yeah. He pulled his right hamstring, and you could tell about the last 15 yards of that. I mean, he was limping in with a convoy, but he was limping in because he pulled a ham.
Let's look at the other part of it, field position chart. We talk about that a lot. A little bit later in the show, we're going to talk about, as a defensive play caller, how field position is the number one thing you look at as calling plays again on defense. But, Mac, I don't know that I've seen a discrepancy in field position where a team started as much so in this one. Just think about this. Tennessee had 12 drives. On 11 of those drives, they started at least 75 yards away. It was 75-plus yards on 11 of those drives. The one that was not was when they got the interception there late in the ball game. That was at the Tennessee 45. But let's just hit that real quickly. 75-plus yards. You called a lot of defenses. I called a lot of defenses. Again, to me, that was the number one thing in a ball game. Maybe not from an offensive play caller, but from a defensive play caller. And let's just talk real quickly about this. Let's talk about the importance of where that offense gets the ball, because it really tells a defensive play caller what he has to do in those instances.
Well, field position metrics, you know, is the whole thing. And when you're putting together a game plan, you know, as a defensive coordinator, when you're cold calling the game and you get all your breakdowns, you look and you see what their tendencies are by field position. I mean, and it's very, very important to look at, because you're going to call the game. And as you say, you're going to have your things set up, because offenses get pretty predictable, too, as far as field position, as to what they run. Where they run it, how they do it, some keys and tips that they will give you on formations and personnel groups as they move down the field, or the further they are away, you know, from the goal line. It makes a huge, huge difference.
Well, the big thing you do as a play caller is, number one, the object is to make them snap that ball one more play. All right. Because every time when you get up to 7, 8, 9, 10 or more plays that an offense has run, the advantage goes to the defense, because you're probably going to get a penalty off the offense. Maybe you're going to get an opportunity to intercept a pass. You're going to have first down, second down, and third downs, and you're going to have opportunities to do that. So that's why you want to keep them as far away as you can from the from your goal line. You want them to start as far away. A couple things on there real quick. Let's just talk about it, too. As a play caller, number one, you have to have the head coach's input on what he wants to do in those particular situations. But by and large is, the closer you get to that goal line, the more chances you have to start taking. Maybe play a little bit more man coverage, maybe blitzing a little bit. If they're 75 yards away, you got almost every defense in your arsenal to call. But when they get down a little bit closer, now you got to start taking a few chances, especially in a close ball game.
Yeah, I mean, and the whole key is you want them to, you pointed it out, you want them to have to progress the football. So the biggest thing is, especially if you've got the field position metric in your favor, don't let the ball go over your head early. Don't let it explosives early, and that helps you as a defensive play caller, because then the offense will start searching, and they also start repeating calls. When they start to repeat calls, if you've really studied it pretty well, that is when you can start lining up your defense for the call.
Let's just look at these scoring drives, and this kind of tells you the game right here, Mac, just in a nutshell. Tennessee scoring drive, 75 yards for a touchdown, 48 yards for a field goal, 83 yards for a touchdown, 55 for a touchdown, and 45 for a field goal. Now, this was Oklahoma scoring drive. Just listen to the difference in the distance on both these. 43-yard field goal, 26-yard field goal, 6 yards for a field goal, 52 for a touchdown, and 44 for a touchdown. And, of course, they had the 71-yarder on a defense scoop and score. Huge difference there, and that was a big part of this ball game.
Yeah, that the field position metrics, and also Oklahoma's kicker, he was dialed in. He was dialed in because getting the football where they did, they were very, very confident that regardless, on fourth down, when they got it as close as they did, he's going to knock it through, and he did.
355 yarders. That's big. That's a big kick in any league.
Well, it's huge, and especially in that situation because they needed every one of them.
All right, let's talk about lessons real quick, Mac. Just a couple of things I thought. Let's start with defense. The one thing I saw coming out of this ball game, want to get your thoughts on it. A lot of the lessons that we've been talking about in past shows on the Tennessee defense, I saw a lot of improvement in those areas. First off, this was two pretty even football teams, if you look at them, and I'm talking about from a talent standpoint, very evenly matched in a lot of areas. Both of them knew what was on the line in this game. You lose this ball game, you're out of the college football playoff in 99% of the time. I thought both played extremely physical. Both had opportunities to win. And Oklahoma took advantage of theirs, and Tennessee did not. But let's just talk a little bit about defense. We've been talking so much about edge and fit. And, boy, for most of this ball game, and I went back and rewatched it a couple of times, defensively the fits between those linebackers and those defensive linemen and the edge, whoever was in charge of setting that edge, so much better in this ballgame.
Well, it was much better. And you could just and you could tell because they, I mean, really Oklahoma was grinding it out for everything they could get. You just pointed out the importance of field position metrics in this game. And defensively, because of where they got the ball, the Vols' defense had to be better. They had to be because they were getting the ball, you know, very, very close to their goal line just with the numbers that you put out there. And I thought they did a much better job of the details of the defense. There's always details of the defense that you have to take care of.
One thing, Mac, that you have to look at as a coach. Let's just talk about the defensive coaches here. Again, that's what you and I that was what we mainly coached. You can't lose sight of the good that you did. And this is something that Coach Banks and his defensive staff can build on. I think it's the best we've looked on defense maybe all year, but certainly in the last 3 or 4 weeks.
It was the most consistent. It was the most consistent with, and you brought it up with run fits. But all the run fits, especially the way that the runs are in the collegiate game, you've got to have an edge set because people try to circle you. You just can't let them circle you. If you're forcing them up inside, like we always talk about, squeeze it back to the middle. They did a good job of that.
Offensively, again, I think it goes back to one thing primarily. Certainly the turnovers. No doubt about that. You're going to have some turnovers. Oklahoma had two turnovers, but that last turnover interception, you know, that got the game closer, but that wasn't a factor in the ball game. But I think the big thing, though, that Tennessee looks at now, 3 losses, not going to go to the college football playoff, have an open date this week, then New Mexico State, so you got a couple of weeks to get healthy again. But, Mac, we've been in this position before as coaches. Where your goals that you were shooting for, you're not going to be able to attain them. Where do you see this Tennessee team going from now? And I'm talking about from a coaching perspective.
Well, I mean, first of all, you know, you've got an open date, which is get people back healthy. But you got New Mexico State. That's going to be a boat race. That's just a boat race game. Let's just be honest. We're always honest here on this thing. But you got to get geared up for those last two Southeast Conference games. You've done it. I mean, playing at Florida is no joke. I don't care. And it seems to me that Florida is still trying to play football right now. And then, of course, clearly the Vanderbilt ball game. Now you've removed yourself basically from playing tournament football to playing spoiler football is what you're trying to do.
Yep. The thing, and we touched on a lot on last week's show, going into the Oklahoma game, Oklahoma had the same thing. You're playing for either the college football playoff or a bowl game. And Tennessee now is looking at getting better. Difficult to do. Difficult to coach sometimes. certainly everybody disappointed. I mentioned on the Sunday show, Mac, you know, the off week is going to seem like a month.
It'll seem like forever. And they'll regroup because, I mean, this is Tennessee's got a good football team. They're a good football team. They're elite. They're an elite football team offensively when they're not turning it over.
I think you'd agree with me on this. After a loss like that, where you had an opportunity to win and did not, you want to get that taste out of your mouth, and Tennessee's got to wait 2 weeks instead of 1 week. That's why I mentioned it's probably going to seem like a month for a lot of these players.
Well, what was it during the Olympics? I don't know much about this team, but it's going to be bad for them. It's going to be bad for New Mexico State, I'm just telling you.
That's Charles Barkley talking about.
Charles told the truth, too. It's going to be bad for New Mexico State in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that was the Olympic game where they asked him some team, I forget which it was, in Africa. He said, I don't know much about them, but I know they're in trouble.
Back after these announcements, Coach to Coach, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Just like your favorite team needs solid players and teamwork to succeed, your health needs a strong lineup also. And guess what? Dental and vision care are your MVPs when it comes to preventative wellness. Delta Dental of Tennessee boasts an all-star lineup of dentists across the state with plans covering up to 100% of your preventative care, such as exams and cleanings. Delta Dental of Tennessee is there to answer any questions you have about your dental insurance so you can stay in top form. Check out their website at deltadentaltn.com.
There are a lot of physical therapists in Tennessee, and you don't want to go to a therapist. You want to choose the therapist that is right for you. This is Charles Davis. I had injuries in my playing days and valued the importance of a quality rehab program. I know and trust these folks, which is why I would choose Star when in Tennessee, and you should too. Their clinicians have world-class advanced training to make them great mechanics of the human body and to get you better fast. Find a Star location near you at starpt.com.
At Great Clips, they know I, like you, have a lot going on, and that's why they save my haircut details in clip notes, so I get the same cut every time. No stress, no worries, no questions asked. And with over 130 salons throughout the state of Tennessee, it's easy to find a Great Clips location near wherever you are. I've been a client of Great Clips for well over a decade now, and if you are looking for a great cut, simply download their online check-in app today. Great Clips, it's gonna be great. When it's time for the big game, big fans need big TVs, and at Double Dogs, you can even satisfy big appetites. With choices like Black Angus burgers, wings tossed in homemade sauces, and dog bowl nachos, well, Double Dogs will make sure you get the fuel you need for lunch, dinner, or even a post-game snack. So whether you have two legs or four, you can cheer on and chow down at Double Dogs. Visit doubledogs.biz to view the menu and order online. Double Dogs, sit, stay.
Coach to Coach with former NFL head coach and defensive coordinator Dave McGinnis and former Tennessee defensive coordinator Doug Matthews, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Another one bites the dust, Mac.
Look, I'm telling you something. This has been, of course, it's been like that, but not to this degree. This degree of now of what's going on, and of course, a lot of it is, you know, is because of the transfer portal and NIL. It really is, and you got to make your switches early just because of the way that the transfer portal is set up now. I mean, you have to if you're going to clear the deck, you're better off clearing the deck early than sitting around and waiting. And clearly, all of these schools right now don't worry about these big buyouts. They're not worried about it at all.
Four teams in the Southeastern Conference now open: Arkansas, then Florida, LSU, and Auburn. And, Mac, here's the thing about Florida, LSU, and Auburn. Go back to 2010. It was only 15 years ago. All three of these teams have won at least one national championship. So these are good jobs. I mean, these are places where you can win. Of course, Florida and LSU in that period of time have multiple national championships. Arkansas is open, as I mentioned. Penn State hasn't been quite that successful. But, boy, you just look at the Florida, LSU, and Auburn situation. They're going to get good coaches. They're going to get good people. And I think that's something that that we're going to keep an eye on and be talking a little bit more about it. Let's just hit real quick why these things are happening right now. A lot of reasons. One is they're making a lot of money. The other thing, as you mentioned, transfer portal. But here's the other thing, folks. Just think about this. The SEC championship game is December 6th. 3 days before that is the national signing day, December 3rd. It runs for 2 days, the 3rd, 4th, and 5th. All right, I guess that's 3 days. So if you're going to fire a coach, you can't wait till the end of the year because you don't have any time to hire a coach before you're starting to sign players on that. And then, of course, we have the transfer portal that opens up at January the 2nd and runs for 15 days. So it's incumbent on these guys to get people hired. It's going to be interesting to me to see what happens because there's a lot of good jobs out there. We anticipate that they're going to go after top coaches to get these jobs. But, Mac, with four of them open in Arkansas is a good job. It's not up there with Florida, LSU, Auburn, or Penn State, I don't believe. But just looking at those, you're going to have somebody's going to have to fill those jobs. It's going to be kind of that stair-stepping up. But I think the big thing is, I believe you'll agree with me on this, but let me just ask you on this. From everybody that I've talked to, and I think just common sense tells you, the guy that's going to have his pick if he wants to move is Lane Kiffin.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, there's
head and shoulders, right?
Yeah, head and shoulders. I mean, Lane Kiffin will get his choice now because he's proven that at Ole Miss. I mean, you know, for a while there, I mean, what happened at SC, what happened at Tennessee. I mean, he was kind of a gypsy moving. Now he's proven that he can compete with anybody and everybody. He will be the number one. He'll be the number one call for all of these who's ever doing it. If it's the governor or if it's whoever's doing it, the hiring, he'll be the number one call.
Let's talk a little bit about him. Poster child, I think, for what going to a program like Alabama. Nick Saban, no question. I'm going to use the word rehabilitate. That's probably not the right word. But you just think about it. Lane Kiffin has had three of the best jobs in football, period. He had the Raiders job for a while. I don't know if they were Las Vegas at that time. He had the Raiders job, all right. One of the top jobs in the NFL, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, he was at Oakland then, but they a legitimate job.
Had Southern Cal.
A legitimate job.
Had Oklahoma. And really didn't do much at either one. Was out of a job, essentially, went as an analyst with Nick Saban, and now I think he's a perfect example to be able to use to coach and say, hey, kind of like what we're seeing in pro football now with quarterbacks that didn't do well and then went to taking another job. Lane Kiffin, I think, is that guy right now. And I tell you what, he's got Ole Miss playing at a high, high level. The question is going to be, will he leave there? Because he's going to get the opportunities to leave, and I'm just going to it's not a wild guess. I think he'll stay at Ole Miss.
Yeah, well, and again, I don't know. I'm speaking from somebody that doesn't know the exact monetary ability of Ole Miss. I know the monetary ability of some of those other ones right now, and it's way up there.
Anyway, wait and see, and we're going to see on that. We'll start to see some of these jobs opening. Let's talk about what our eyes are seeing right now in college football. It's going to kind of be a continuation for me and what we have seen. Man, we've seen a lot of really good games. I mean, a lot of really good games, and we're going to see more. November had five Saturdays in it. We've already had one. We got four more Saturdays before we get to conference championship play. And every ball game or every league has got two or three games every week that are huge ball games that are going to affect that college football playoff poll.
Well, it's because the talent is spread out now. I mean, the talent is spread out now with the transfer portal. If you've got a personnel department that knows how to evaluate and that also understands asset allocation, you can get better in a hurry. You can get much better in a hurry, and you can plug in. I mean, it's harder to plug in freshmen, people, kids that you have signed out of high school to be ready to play immediately. These guys are ready to play immediately. So it comes down to talent evaluation and asset allocation. It's just like the National Football League right now.
Timeout called. Back after these announcements, Coach to Coach, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Doug Matthews here. Game day or any day, Wilson Bank and Trust shows up for our schools. Through signature sponsorships and hometown support, they're investing in the next generation of leaders, customers, and bankers. At Wilson Bank and Trust, they believe financial knowledge builds financial confidence. That's why they offer tools and education for every age and every life stage, from digital resources to school programs and even hands-on learning at home. Experience the difference a community-focused bank can make. Together, we win. Wilson Bank and Trust, here to get you there. Member FDIC.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Bill Mayo here, VFL from 1981 through 1984. For the last 5 decades, Volunteer Welding has been supplying Tennessee companies with industrial gases, welding supplies, CO2, and propane for all their business needs. Our goal is great local service with national capabilities. Check out our customer-friendly website at volunteerwelding.com. With locations across the Volunteer State in Nashville, Knoxville, Cookeville, Tullahoma, and Jackson, Volunteer Welding can meet all of your business needs.
Championship teams make constant adjustments to keep winning. I'm Dwayne Hardy of Forklift Systems. Your competitors aren't standing still. Forklift sales are up 100%. You can't compete with inferior machinery. Our free equipment analysis shows your MVPs and the ones costing you wins. With factory rebates up to $8,000, you can't afford to stay on the sideline. Don't get left behind. Visit ForkliftSystems.com today.
The big national game. Out in the Big 12, BYU, a little bit of a surprise, undefeated right now, at Texas Tech. Both those teams, of course, in the top 10 in the college football playoff. Mac, let's talk a little bit about both these teams. Texas Tech, we've kind of documented what they did in the offseason. A big amount of NIL money. But NIL money is one thing. You still have to bring in good players. They're playing at a very high level right now. Big surprise. I was one of them. If you just look in the state of Utah, we thought Utah was probably going to be the team. But BYU is playing really well right now. What do your eyes tell you?
Well, they got a freshman quarterback at BYU that's a dealer. I mean, he is a dealer. I mean, when you start watching him play, I mean, he is something.
Yeah, of course, they had a senior coming back, fifth-year senior coming back, and got in a little trouble academically or somewhere with the university.
Right.
And anyway – had to start a freshman, and he's come through for him.
And I'm not sure they knew how good that freshman really was going to be. I mean, he's legit. And Texas Tech, we've talked about Texas Tech, but the amount of NIL money that they're serious about it. I've been out there. I've seen their new facility and all of that. But you're right. The thing that they're doing right now, their talent evaluation in the portal is really, really good. And they know exactly who fits out there. Now, they're playing at Lubbock. They're playing there in Jones Stadium. Now, they've outlawed throwing the tortillas, so that's out now. I mean, they used to fire those tortillas after the first kickoff out on the field. I've experienced that, too. Tortillas are out. All right. But
That's something they've done over the years, to start this year.
No, it's been over the years. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's get your guns up, Raiders. But that to me is Texas Tech is a great, great example of if you get serious about the NIL and you get serious about putting together a department that can evaluate the transfer portal, you can get good quick. And I don't know if you've ever been to Lubbock, Texas, but it's not exactly like it's surrounded. You know, I mean, there's football players in Texas, but that area up in there, there's some distance between schools. But what they've done is impressive.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I like to bring up is, as you know, because you grew up in that state, there's a 48-hour drive between the furthest east of Texas is and the furthest west, 48 hours. And folks, just an example, It's about a 9-hour drive in Tennessee between the furthest, you know, Bristol and Memphis, maybe 10. 48 hours, that's a big state.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing from Amarillo to Corpus Christi. I mean, it takes you a while. A lot of land mass. But there's players down there, but you have to know what type of players can come to your place. They've done the best job of that of anybody.
Pardon me, but you know, Mac, I have to, anytime Lubbock, Texas comes up, I have to tell my famous line about Lubbock, Texas. I didn't use it, but it's the best one is the old joke, or the question is, the only thing between the North Pole and Lubbock, Texas, is the barbed wire fence. wind always blows, doesn't it? Anyway, we both grew up out there. Now, the Big 12 wasn't what it is now because of some teams that have left and some teams that have been added. But, you know, as I watch that league now, that's a fun league to watch. You talk about throwing it all over the field. It's a fun league to watch.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, the areas that we grew up in, first of all, it was the Big Eight in the Southwest Conference. Those were the teams. And basically, you know, it was Texas, Oklahoma. And then so it's evolved. But the Big 12 now with the teams in it, they've got really good competition, you know, among themselves. Now, also the way the television money has been divided up now, they've brought the right teams in. And you know how they're moving and gerrymandering all of these conferences now. But they did a good job of bringing people together. And the fan bases are pretty dialed in with these teams.
Well, you got to figure out. There's no question that the Southeastern Conference and the Big Ten they're going to have about 2-to-1 advantage in the media rights deals because just as simply the teams that they have in here and the cities and all of that. But those other teams, it's the ACC now, Atlantic Coast Conference, and the Big 12, they're trying to look to be that third team. And that's not to say they can't have a team or two or three that are going to be able to compete at the national championship level. But right now, if you look at it, and I think we talked a little earlier about the first college football playoff poll, the odds are going to be favoring either a Southeastern Conference team or a Big Ten team to win it all again this year.
No doubt. And it just, you know, just because of the way it shakes out and because of the numbers. But all you have to do, and you and I follow this very closely, you look at the high school signings. You look at, you know, where the five stars are going. Those two conferences are getting most of the five-star players in the country, not just in the regions where they are, but in the country. Those are national programs in the SEC and the Big Ten, national programs.
You brought up the transfer portal and the money, name, image, likeness, Texas Tech. That's the big thing that everybody's looking at now. And let's just kind of have a few thoughts. Again, what our eyes and, in this instance, our ears are telling us, hearing from coaches that we know, listening to the athletic directors, but primarily listening to coaches, kind of some evolving thoughts on the transfer portal. There's no question that there is a gap between there are those teams that can pay big money in the transfer portal and big money in name, image, likeness to those transfer portal players and high school players. And then there's a big divide on that, and some of them almost unlimited money. And then those that can't. And, Mac, that's kind of the haves and the have-nots. And let's face it, the have-nots are going to have to do a better job of taking whatever the money they have and doing a better job of evaluation and getting those players in there than the teams that have a lot more money to spend.
Yeah, well, it's all about, I mean, asset allocation, but evaluation, you just said it, that's the most important thing, is to be able to, and not only evaluate just the raw ability of the players, how do they fit into what we're doing? I mean, that's extremely, extremely important.
Well, just because you have a lot of money doesn't mean you're going to have a really good football
team. No, it does not. And it's the same way in the National Football League. Just because you're highly paid guarantees nothing. I mean, you get a good start, but you've got to be able to perform on the field. But a huge part of it, especially with what's going on in collegiate football, is identifying who fits into our program with what we are doing. Because not everybody's a fit for everywhere else. We've seen it in the coaching world right now, too, Doug. I mean, we've seen some guys that are good coaches. They just don't quite fit where they're going.
And of course, the part of it on that transfer portal is also evaluation there. I don't know. I've talked to several different staffs, and of course, getting, as you know, because you were one, getting a lot of information out of a head football coach can be a little bit difficult sometimes. But I think the one area that's really being looked at by college coaches, we're talking now, of course, is that quarterback position. Do you bring in a high school player and pay him a lot of money, which the going rate for one of the top players is somewhere north of $1.5 million, even up over
sure.
$2 million, or, and we've seen a lot of teams have a lot of success out of this, Indiana's quarterback, Tennessee's quarterback, a player that goes in, and both those young men were not highly recruited. Both of them played at a very high level right now. So, again, as we get two or three or four years into this, into name, image, likeness, and into transfer portal, coaches, you'll have a little analytics to look at. You'll have examples to look at. That is the area that's going to be really interesting to me to see how teams go from the quarterback position. Do you take an unproven high school quarterback that's a great athlete, or do you wait and get, like many of the teams have, Ole Miss has been excellent at this, go find one that is really good, that wants to transfer, and bring him in that has 20, 25, 30 starts under his belt?
No, and that's the key. And the other team to look at, and just to exemplify and to accentuate your point, look at Vanderbilt. Look what the Diego Pavia has done. Diego Pavia wasn't exactly a five-star recruit, you know, coming out of high school. And all of a sudden now, but he's married up with a coach in the right system. And that's huge.
Timeout called. Back after these announcements, Coach to Coach, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
More than 450 tickets have been sold worth $1 million or more. But with nearly $8 billion raised for education, the biggest winners continue to be students in Tennessee. So if you've ever purchased a game from the Tennessee Lottery, we say thank you for helping to play your part. The Tennessee Lottery, game-changing, life-changing fun. But please play responsibly.
When it's time for the big game, big fans need big TVs. And at Double Dogs, you can even satisfy big appetites. With choices like Black Angus Burgers, wings tossed in homemade sauces, and dog bowl nachos, well, Double Dogs will make sure you get the fuel you need for lunch, dinner, or even a post-game snack. So whether you have two legs or four, you can cheer on and chow down at Double Dogs. Visit DoubleDogs.biz to view the menu and order online. Double Dogs. Sit. Stay. Eat. At Great Clips, they know I, like you, have a lot going on. And that's why they save my haircut details in clip notes. So I get the same cut every time. No stress. No worries. No questions asked. And with over 130 salons throughout the state of Tennessee, it's easy to find a Great Clips location near wherever you are. I've been a client of Great Clips for well over a decade now, and if you are looking for a great cut, simply download their online check-in app today. Great Clips, it's gonna be great. Just like your favorite team needs solid players and teamwork to succeed, your health needs a strong lineup also. And guess what? Dental and vision care are your MVPs when it comes to preventative wellness. Delta Dental of Tennessee boasts an all-star lineup of dentists across the state, with plans covering up to 100% of your preventative care, such as exams and cleanings. Delta Dental of Tennessee is there to answer any questions you have about your dental insurance so you can stay in top form. Check out their website at deltadentaltn.com.
Weekly drive around college football, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
One of the things that's changed in college football is the number of open dates. The last, I think this is the third season in a row, Southeastern Conference MAC has had, each team has had two open
dates.
Sometimes going way back, we didn't have any. Then you had one. Now you have two. And boy, those are very important right now. Gives you an opportunity. Let's talk a little bit about an open date. We discussed a little earlier Tennessee after a loss having an open date, not quite the way you want it, but it is what it is right now. But let's talk about some of those open dates and what, as a head coach, you try to get done especially late in the year. I think almost every Southeastern Conference team has an open date left, except just a couple. But let's just talk about what you can kind of get accomplished. You're injured. You got some guys that are injured. Everybody's got something wrong with them if they've been playing. Maybe it's a little bruise here or whatever. That's one thing. The other part of it is, well, let's hit on that first, and then I want to get into that four-game red shirt that you can still play. There's still quite a few players on almost every team that can do that. Let's talk about the injury situation first. How important it is to have those open dates for that.
Well, it's extremely, extremely important because you're right. And people are everybody's got somebody that's hurt. And most of the best you ever feel is when you start, because nobody's playing completely healthy right now anyway. But the chance to be able to just to rejuvenate, and plus the good head coaches, they let their players get away from this for a while too, because the pressure that you have, especially as you get into the conference games, there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure, and you need that time to kind of just, sit back and refresh your mind a little bit. But the injury part of it and getting healthy, that is a huge, huge part of it. And as you said, now with most teams getting two of them, that later one, you're probably going to even benefit more from that because you've got a chance to have more people injured. And I'm not talking about season-ending injuries. I'm talking about things that you're playing with that you're not quite right. At least that week off, it's amazing how much that helps you.
Well, I think a perfect example of that. Let's look at this Oklahoma team we just saw go into Knoxville and win last week. Remember, 4 weeks before that, their quarterback, John Mateer, broke his thumb, had it operated on, came back and played Texas. They did not score an offensive touchdown then. And quite frankly, they put him out there, and he wanted to be out there, but he didn't play very well. Same from South Carolina, a loss at Ole Miss at home, but you saw him getting a little bit better. The second half against Tennessee, he had a big ball game. But here's the plus for him. So he's got a week off now, and then Oklahoma has at Alabama, Missouri and Norman, LSU and Norman, and we talk about that two-loss threshold. They got to win out the rest of the way. But this open date for them in particular is a big-time open date because he's just going to get better and better. John Mateer, that second half, didn't he look like we saw him look these first four or five games before he got that thumb injury?
I could not agree with you more. And coming off of the Texas game, I mean, he wasn't ready to play. He wasn't ready to play, but that's a Red River rivalry. You can't call it the Red River shootout anymore, but you and I can because we go back a long way to that. The issue with him, though, the better that he gets, the more confidence the whole team has. And paired with that defense, that's good. But he's a great example of what a little bit of time will help you.
One thing that I really have grown to dislike, almost detest, are all conference teams. Mac, tell me how you can do this in a 16-team league, and the Big Ten has 18 teams in it. How in the world can you pick the best at any one position? And I'm just going to talk about the quarterback position. I can name you about five quarterbacks right now that if they named any one of those five to the first-team all-conference team or offensive player of the year, I'd be all for it. We got a lot of good players in here.
Look, with 16 and 18 teams, and plus we just talked about in the earlier segments, these are the 5 and 4 star players coming out. I mean, these are the dudes coming in to be even better dudes. So, yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. If you just mention one or two, that's why you've got second, third, fourth alternates. I mean, just because of the fact you got so many good players right now, especially in those two conferences.
Hey, look at that quarterback position. I mean, you like I said, there may be more than four or five because you've got a bunch of them still in it. It's an offensive game now, no question about that. But still, we're seeing some good defensive efforts. Let's talk about that Oklahoma team again, because they came in as number one defense at Tennessee, gave up almost, right at 300 yards the first half. Didn't look like the number one defensive team. But, Mac, you know what they did? They kept Tennessee out of the end zone, and that's the name of the game is still winning the ball game, and it's about limiting points or scoring points. Oklahoma, while they didn't have their best statistical game, they played exceptionally well defensively.
Well, you and I have talked about this before, and of course, we're longtime coaches. Defensively, I could care less about yardage. Points, cared a lot about points, and cared a lot about turnovers.
didn't care too much about statistics. That WNL is the only thing that matters, right?
That's nobody ever asked, you know, about those other things.
I don't think I ever got a raise because of doing something well statistically.
No, and you know what?
A few guys get fired because of statistics.
Yeah, I never went into a contract saying, well, you know, this, and this, because the comeback is always how many games you win.
Yeah, that's right.
How many games you win.
Yeah, they don't remember, kind of like playing golf in it.
They could care less. Yeah. They could care less how it looked, you do.
If you hit a tree and it bounces back into the fairway.
I don't care how it looks. Right. What'd we do?
Don't draw pictures of them.
What'd we do?
What do you like this going forward, these last four ball games? Again, November's a big month. Five ball games. We had some great ones coming up. Just kind of looking at we talked a little bit about the BYU-Texas Tech ball game. Big one, Southeastern Conference. I say the big one. They're all big. But the one with ranked teams, A&M going to Missouri, as we talked about.
What's an elimination game for Missouri?
Yep. Anybody with two losses right now.
Yeah, it's an elimination game, and so that puts a different flavor on it. It really does. Puts a different flavor on it. And you got two teams. Missouri is still playing to try to hold on and stay in the tournament. And A&M is looking for that first bye in this tournament. So that's big.
Yep. Still, as I mentioned, still got several teams in it. Eight teams in the Southeastern Conference still with just two losses. Two losses or less still in it. But all that's going to change because they're all going to be playing each other. And, of course, we ended up that they started doing this about 10 years ago in the Southeastern Conference, maybe 15 now. And that's when you have rivalry Saturday. Everybody playing a rival. And this conference championship and college football playoff going to go right down that final weekend before we get the championship game.
Well, it absolutely is. And that's why ever since tournament football has come into the NCAA, it's a different world.
Just hit zero. Join us next week for our weekly coaches meeting. This is Coach to Coach.